Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Let's Talk Small Business.
Welcome to the first show of Let's Talk Small Business. I am the producer here, Michael Lauer, briefly standing in as host for the Georgia Minority Suppliers Development Council. They will be here doing their first show on the first of the new month in April, and we're super excited to have them on here. I hope that you listening at home get the chance to listen to them and get some great guests on. We actually had the privilege of doing a remote broadcast for them a while back at the remote ribbon cutting for the GMSDC, Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council, in the AT&T Center in Atlanta, where Lee Stone and Stacy Key interviewed some great guests, and we're going to play a couple here for you. Later on, we have Sylvia Neely-David, Wassel Lewis, and a few others, but first, we're going to start with Chris Clark. So, listen up, and I hope you enjoy.
And we are back, Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, and we have with us President and CEO with Georgia Chamber, Chris Clark. All three of us absolutely committed to innovate, ignite, and transform as we join them here at the GMSDC 2014 annual meeting and ribbon cutting. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and let's tackle the important things first, the cufflinks, sure. Man. You're rocking my world. I almost wore cuffs today, but I like those. Those are nice.
I have to represent, right? I got to have my brand and who pays my check on there all the
That's
time.
That's right. The Georgia Chamber. Can you talk a little bit about your mission and purpose, what you guys are doing for folks?
Sure. I tell my staff, and when we're out in the state, it's pretty simple. We wake up every day, and our focus is on making Georgia a more competitive place to do business, making our communities a more competitive place, making Georgia businesses more competitive, and helping Georgia individuals become more competitive so they can have great jobs. I mean, it's a pretty simple mission. We want to grow the economy of the state of Georgia.
So how are we doing?
We're doing really, really great right now. Just a few months ago.
How long have you been president? Is this a coincidence that we're doing great, you're president?
No, it's exactly because I'm president. Exactly. No, I've had this job for 3 years, and things have gotten better every year. So
you connect the dots, right?
Exactly. The governor had a great announcement back in December that Site Selection Magazine, which is kind of the preeminent magazine about where businesses locate in the country, named Georgia the number one place to do business. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, we're a great place. We've got the right business climate here. But you're seeing companies from all over the world move headquarters to Georgia. They're moving manufacturing to Georgia. You're seeing startups all over the state of Georgia. And so it's a great time to grow your business in Georgia, and we're reaping the benefits of a manufacturing renaissance and a growth in a lot of different economic sectors.
So tell us a little bit about the collaboration with GMSDC, how you guys work together.
Well, it continues to evolve. This is an extremely important organization in the state of Georgia. A lot of people, I think, probably assume that the Georgia Chamber is made up of all these big businesses. And while we do have those size companies, 95% of our members have fewer than 10 or 15 employees. And so a lot of what we do is try to match up folks, help them grow their small business. And that's exactly what this organization does. Stacy Key is a great friend. She's on our board of directors. She has an important voice there for us to make sure that we're not only advocating at the Capitol for what's going to help businesses grow, but we're also looking at the right types of programs statewide that we need to do to help small businesses. And so it's a great partnership, and we're actually working on a couple of new exciting things that we'll announce sometime in the future, hopefully, that'll be beneficial for all involved as well.
Now, do you help some of these small businesses work with government entities, or is it mainly corporations to corporations? How do you guys work?
Whatever we need to do to help a business, we're going to do it. You know, it's interesting what we get asked to do during the day. I mean, it might be something that someone has a problem with an environmental permit, or they might have a tax issue that we need to help them address, or it might be that they're trying to make a contact in a new community with the school board so they can sell school buses to them, and we try to facilitate that. We've actually got a great new program we launched in January called Georgia to Georgia, and it has really two kind of simple purposes. Number one is to encourage more Georgia businesses to partner and do business with each other. You know, don't go to New York to find somebody first. Take somebody that's already invested in Georgia. And the other part of that initiative is to encourage local and state governments, when they're doing procurement, don't go outside the state of Georgia. Look for the talent that's here first. You know, those are your tax dollars that they're spending. We've had horrible stories, for example, from my good friends at Bluebird Buses in Middle Georgia, who Found out the county next door bought buses from North Carolina.
Ouch.
Even though here they are next door, right. Employing thousands of Georgians, paying great taxes, doing exactly what they need to do, partnering with small businesses. And so a lot of times it's not that there was an intent there, they just didn't know. And so a lot of the work that we have to do is to make sure that government leaders, procurement officers know that there are opportunities here, there are businesses here that can do the same type of work and provide the right types of partnerships and just to expose and market those guys.
Now, are you seeing anything happening regarding the crowdfunding law that Georgia is kind of unique in the country? Kind of we're ahead of the curve a little bit on that.
I think we are, but I think we still have a long way to go, not just in crowdfunding, but also in venture capital. That's been a big part of what we've worked on for the last really 3.5 years now, doing everything from trying to open up the state pension fund to passing legislation that would allow crowdfunding. We're starting to see some more activity. We're not nearly where we need to be. We're obviously behind some of the states in the Northeast and out on the West Coast. But what we've got is we've got a group of elected leaders, Republicans and Democrats, that understand it's important that that's what we have to do to continue to grow, especially technology companies in this state. And so the good news is they're committed to it. The bad news is we've got more work to do.
So what's your favorite part, President and CEO of Georgia Chamber? What's your favorite part of that job?
So that's a great question. I, as a Georgia boy, I tell you, I'm lucky. I feel like I got the best job in the world. I get to wake up every day, and I get to work with communities all over this state. I'm from rural South Georgia, and they're still suffering. And so spending time helping them find a path forward, working with legislators to have the right type of business climate, or just going to sell the state of Georgia as we do every single day. I love all of those things. So it's just it's a great job.
Can you share a little bit about when you're talking to maybe a business owner that's in another state and you're selling Georgia?
Sure.
How do you go about doing that? Because Georgia, some people see Georgia, they think Atlanta, mm-hmm. But Georgia has a lot of assets, I mean, including a port, an international airport. There's a lot of great things, university system, right. The CDC is based here. There's a lot of things that we have to offer that I don't think that the country as a whole understands it. It's all in one place, and it's all relatively close to each other.
It is, and when you look at us versus some of our neighbors, they're not having the growth. They're not winning these companies like we are. And so when we go and talk to these firms, whether they're in Japan or Germany, or we did a trip to Turkey last year, it really depends on the sector. You know, if there's an agriculture company or, you know, we're going to be talking about South Georgia, about processing, about what we can grow. If we're talking to a company that's a heavy importer or exporter, we're selling Hartsfield. We're talking about the port in Savannah as well as in Brunswick. If we're talking to high-tech companies, we're talking about Georgia Tech, the University of Georgia. We're talking about the Atlanta ecosystem here. It really depends. I mean, it's incredible. We're the biggest state east of the Mississippi, and we've got more things to sell than anybody else out there.
So, well, and I think we're pretty friendly to the film folks, too, aren't we?
It is. It's one of our fastest-growing sectors this year. We will be, at the end of this year, the fifth largest number of productions.
Oh, wow.
In the state of Georgia. We've had 700 films and TV shows independently filmed here since 1972. But here's what's interesting is we passed tax credits in 2003 and 4. We started getting some of the movie guys to come in, and they would come in, they'd film, they'd hire small businesses to do catering or lighting or whatever it might be, then they'd leave. Well, so as we've continued to refine the policy and the marketing, now what we're seeing are companies like Screen Gems.
They're actually coming
and they're building the facilities. And so now these small businesses, it's not, gosh, I hope they'll film something here and I'll get that job. Now they're saying, wait a minute, I got to have a relationship with a bricks and mortar facility that's not going anywhere. And now we've developed the infrastructure in Georgia, and we're going to continue to grow those. And I think we'll probably be number three in production in the next few years. And I think the other thing about that sector that's exciting is, yeah, the films and the movies get all the sexy, you know. We see them, we think about them, we talk about them. But we continue to grow the post-production, the video gaming components, all of those things. There's an incredible ecosystem and infrastructure in Georgia that continues to watch those grow. And the next part of that is we've got to get the workforce right so that we've got the right type of workers here in Georgia, and we'll be able to recruit companies out of California and New York. And I'm really excited. It used to be, again, going back 10 years ago, you'd only have that film production within probably a 50 or 60-mile radius of Atlanta. And now you're seeing that production in small towns
all
over the state
of Georgia.
Right. Absolutely. It's And it's going to continue to grow and be a great economic sector for us.
Now, is there other examples where the government was able to create some sort of a tax incentive and then that kind of bubbled up a sector that maybe didn't exist or wasn't as strong?
Well, I think a great example is for 7 or 8 years, we were the only state in the Southeast that still had a tax on the energy used in manufacturing, agriculture, and mining. And so 2 years ago, we were able to remove that tax. And then all of a sudden, you saw some really large manufacturers like Baxter, like Caterpillar, that said, that was holding us back. Here
now
we come.
All of a sudden,
and now
we're
coming.
That much more attractive.
That's
right.
So you try to take away the barriers to entry. And a lot of people say, well, Chris, it's not fair you give those incentives. But those people, I think, have a short view because they don't look at the fact we weren't getting the tax revenue before the company came. And they also don't fully account for all the small businesses that now have the ability to supply, to partner with, that they would never have had that opportunity had that larger company not come to the state of Georgia.
Sure. Well, Chris, keep up the good work, man.
Thank
Where
you.
Can our listeners go to learn more and get plugged into what you guys are doing?
Then go to gachamber.com and see everything that we've got going on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
My
now
pleasure.
It's time to go cut ribbons and enjoy the rest of the event.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate what y'all are doing, and good luck with the new show.
All right, thanks.
All right, we will be back in a few.
It's always great hearing from the Georgia Chamber, and I'd like to thank Chris Clark again for coming on and imparting some of the wisdom and sharing the great stuff that's happening in Georgia and the business community. If you are a newer business or even an older business and you want to get some help, be sure to go to the Georgia Chamber. I know they'd love to help you guys out. Later on at the event at the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council ribbon cutting, we got the opportunity to speak with Sylvia Neely David with HTC Advisors. Here's that interview. Check it out.
Lee Cantor with Stacey Key here at Innovate Ignite Transform 2014. This is the GMSDC event in Midtown Atlanta. And this is the new home, or we're right down the block from the new home. Is that right?
Yes, we're right down the street from the new GMSDC headquarter office. And we are so excited to be here kicking off 2014.
Now, in the studio with us right now, we have Sylvia Neely David, and this is one of the MBEs, right?
Yes, Sylvia Neely David is our new Minority Business Input Committee Chair. She is an extraordinary, phenomenal minority business owner, and she is going to head up our 700 Minority Business Enterprise Committee, and she is going to provide leadership, direction, and she is going to pave the way for growing this phenomenal group. Did I do a proper setup there, Sylvia?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I've got some large shoes to fill.
All right, you're getting there, Sylvia.
Large shoes.
Why don't you talk a little bit about your involvement with the GMSDC and why it's important to you in growing your business?
Well, GMSDC provides just an array of services, everything from education, opportunities for us to stay sharp as leaders, all the way to creating connection opportunities with potential buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to my own particular business at Human and Technology Capital Advisors, but it's also important to all businesses because without those types of services, I think we would just kind of be out there as small business owners.
And part of it is the help with the government regulations and all the different policy changes? Is that how they help?
It's a number of things. On one side, yes, it's information around policies and laws that may affect small businesses.
Uh-huh.
But it's also helping you grow your business as well. And like I said, that could be around education. That could be around meeting potential buyers. It could be partnering with another small business to understand something you don't understand. It's the mentor-protege program. Mm-hmm. That allows you to get hands-on mentoring by these excellent organizations that you couldn't otherwise get.
Now, your business is Human Technology Capital Advisors. Can you share maybe an example of how you've benefited, your company has benefited from this organization?
Oh, absolutely. Human and Technology Capital Advisors is a human capital consulting company, and we leverage technology everywhere that we can in order to make organizations more efficient and effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, we've been able to receive referrals, possible opportunities from GMSDC. There's been classes where we've had been able to come in and sharpen our skills. There's been situations where we were able to pick up opportunities to work with other small businesses. Because of the Minority Business Input Committee, there are so many, there's 700 other small businesses that we can get together and work with. And oftentimes, you can provide services to them as well as large organizations. So they've helped us grow by providing opportunities and insights.
Have you been able to take advantage of that mentor-protege program?
I have not, but it's funny you would bring that up. I just left the program director, Veronica Maldonado, and she literally was just on me about signing up. So she and I have been, I mean, just a moment ago, but she and I have been in conversation over the last couple of years, and it's an excellent program. All over the city, because I'm often out involved in other activities with other organizations, and I often hear feedback about the program, and I was just sharing that with her.
Sylvia, can you take a moment to talk about the industry groups that are within the NBIC?
Good. The input committee is comprised of about six industry groups, and just to name a few, one is professional services. There's government affairs, and there's the staffing group, and it's three others. And within those groups, you're able to literally get together with people who work directly in the same industry as you do and find out information around best practices, changes in the industry. They often bring premier speakers in to talk about changes in the landscape, and actually lately that's been very important. You're able to talk about possible partnership opportunities, because in recent years it's really been advantageous for small businesses to partner both with other small businesses as well as large businesses. And so you're able to really get lots of interaction and feedback in those particular organizations. There's, in addition to the ones I've named, there's a large, actually, IT industry group that has been very, very active within the MBEIC, as well as, you know, working very closely with TAG and trying to understand best practices and leveraging those organizations as well. So you get the benefit of all of that if you are part of GMSDC and become active in the MBEIC.
And that's kind of the secret sauce there, isn't it? A lot of people join different organizations, but if you're not willing to really get involved and be active, you're not going to get the most out of it, are you?
You're exactly right. One of the things that has been very, very helpful for me personally is I was told early on that one way to maximize this opportunity is to become active. Mm-hmm. So literally, once I put my paperwork in, I made it known to the certification manager that I'd like to get involved and serve. Within a week of receiving my certification, she contacted me and put me in touch with an industry group leader. And from there, I was asked to serve on the planning and leadership team for professional services. And that's really how you get involved and start to understand the landscape, start to understand the needs, and really make it work for you.
Right. And then they see you in action. They see that you're easy to work with, you're a good person, you're smart, and all this stuff. And then now they're more apt to do business with you.
It is an excellent commercial and promo for your business and for your brand.
Right. And Stacy, when someone raises their hand and they say they want to get involved, you guys jump all over that, right?
Oh, yeah. We're Sylvia can attest to that. Yeah. She started getting visible and everyone started seeing her name. And Sylvia, we've got a few committees we'd like to get you involved with.
Exactly.
And look at where she is today. She is the MBEIC chair. Who'd have thought?
That's right. And that's the beauty of this is your organization needs the person to volunteer and to get involved
Absolutely.
In that to make it work for everybody.
It is because of the quality of MBEs that we have, like Sylvia. That's what really makes the council successful. Without the premier MBEs like this, we would not be successful.
Right. Because you need resources as well.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's a win-win all the way around.
It's absolutely a win-win.
So now if you were out there talking to minority business, how would you sell them on getting involved with this organization? you?
I would first of all say to them that, first of all, there are opportunities that you would not have otherwise. If you were not connected to an organization like a GMSDC, you would not have access to some of the largest brands in the world. The other thing is, a lot of times as an entrepreneur, sometimes it's a lonely road.
Right.
And so you're kind of out there on your own, and you can very easily lose track of what's going on in the industry. What's
right.
New.
So your head's down and you're just focusing on your own individual problems. You kind of lose track of what's happening out there.
You do. And GMSDC is an excellent organization to talk about those types of changes in the landscape, changes in the industry, thought leadership that you really need to know. And then on top of that, they're constantly providing options like the GMSDC Academy, the Business Development Center that's going to open later today. We're mm-hmm. excited about that.
That's right.
Because that's an excellent place for you to come and collaborate and also learn. So, I mean, any small business would really get the value out of being a part of this
right.
kind of
it's a missed opportunity if you're not taking advantage of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
you're involved, obviously, in the networking with these potential clients, but you mentioned earlier the partnering with other small businesses that you can collaborate and go in together, and that gives you even more leverage to grow your business. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. I mean, to be quite frank with you, I'm running in here today because I was literally working on a proposal with another small business.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens frequently. And there's all kinds of opportunities for small businesses to get together where there's what I call complementary services
right.
that you can put together and put forth to an organization. And part of what we're doing in MBEIC is encouraging that more. And we, last year, along with Stacy, we were able to kind of come up with a consortium concept for MBEs. And that has gone over very, very well. And we'd like to continue that this year, which is going to allow us to bring people together who can put that complementary slate of opportunity together and present it to an organization.
Now, you had mentioned that this kind of collaboration is something that can jumpstart you or to get you to the next level in your business, because a lot of entrepreneurs are so heads down in their own business, they don't even think that these opportunities, they don't even consider them in the spectrum of growing their business. But you get together at one of these meetings or you meet complementary service providers, all of a sudden you can solve the problem of this corporate entity in a way that you would have probably never thought of individually yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the concerns that we face all the time is sustainability. Large companies want to know that we're sustainable and that we can handle the volume
right.
of a, for instance, Coca-Cola. And that is that's a good concern. I understand why they would be.
Right, because they don't want to be changing vendors every
exactly,
2 weeks. They
exactly.
want to make sure that you're there for the long run.
And that you can grow with them and so on and so forth. So a lot of times small businesses, unless you're in this kind of group, you don't think about, well, I don't have to bite all that off on my own.
Right.
I can really go in with other people and go and present this opportunity. And the good news is large businesses have been, you know, receptive to the idea.
Right. And it seems that, I mean, the ones that we've talked to, they seem that they want to use minority business owners and vendors, but these people have to be ready to solve their problem.
They do.
It's not about the vendor. It's about solving the big corporation's problem.
It is really about solving that. And if you don't place yourself strategically in the potential customer's business and understand what the drivers are and what the needs are, then you already missed the opportunity.
Right.
So,
but sometimes by partnering with somebody else, it allows you to fit perfectly into the area that they need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It could be, like I said, those services together. And that's why it's important for us to, you know, you hear Stacy talk about, you know, innovation all the time.
Right.
We have to operate as a small business very, very differently than we did before the recession.
Right.
So everything we do has had to be transformed in order to meet the customer's need.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more about Human Technology Capital Advisors, do you guys have a website?
Yes, they could visit HTCAdvisors.com. We would be delighted to provide services to you. If you're interested in becoming an active member of the MBEIC group, please feel free to visit gmsdc.org website. And there is a MBEIC page, but feel free to just contact GMSDC directly, and someone on Stacy's staff would be delighted to direct you to either myself, or there is a leadership team within MBEIC. So there's other leaders that can help them out, and would be glad to do so.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of this today.
Thank you, Sylvia. This has been great. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back in a few.
There, that was Sylvia Neely David with HTC Advisors, and we got to listen to Stacy Key a little bit there too. She's actually going to be the host of this show, and I'm super excited to share her with you guys in the coming weeks. So look forward to hearing more from her. So there's a lot going on at Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council, and if you think that's something you can get involved in or would like to benefit from, please go to the website and check them out. They do a lot of great stuff. Next up from that remote ribbon cutting is Cassius Butts with SBA, and I hope you enjoy.
Lee Cantor here with Stacy Key, the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council. This is the big annual meeting, the big ribbon cutting. Stacy, you must be on top of the world.
I am clearly on top of the world. Very excited about today and the new space, new location. Really excited about showcasing some of the innovative ideas we have for the new year. And really excited about Cassius Butts being here. He's the regional administrator for SBA and one of our strategic partners.
All right, Cassius, you're up now. Why don't you talk a little bit about how the SBA is helping folks?
Well, sure. I first want to acknowledge our presence here today. Stacy Key has been someone who's taken the initiative to put small business back on the platform, particularly here in the state of Georgia. We thought that it made very good business sense to help to support them in their bottom line. So we got together a year or so ago and talked about what can we do, what can we do to make a difference. And we decided to offer GMSDC to put together a strategic alliance memorandum in place to basically support GMSDC in their initiative to support small business. And so what does that mean? That means we're going to help to support them in training. We're going to help to support them in just getting small business owners to the table to get access to capital, contracting, and counseling opportunities at no cost. So now, that's the best part about it.
Now, that sounds a little too good to be true. Yeah. Are the minority businesses embracing this? Are they taking advantage of this?
Well, I can definitely say when you say it's too good to be true, Stacy, click your heels and we showed up. That's how it happens. The best part about it is true. It does not cost anything. This is what you as a taxpayer actually get to benefit from having your taxes in place. It's no cost. We knew this is something that was long overdue, but I can say just being here today, you're seeing a lot of what this theme is really all about, just igniting and innovating different ideas of bringing small business and government together. So we're very excited about it.
But it's not just small business, it's the large corporations as well, right? Because the large corporations are reaching out to the small businesses and partnering with them and allowing them to be vendors and mentoring them and training them and helping them provide the services that these large corporations need as well. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. One of our signature programs is our 8A program. It's a 9-year training program. Many of them are affiliated with GMSDC. So when you talk about many of the folks who are already at the table, many of them have been in existence for years, right, Stacy? I think it's been good just to kind of talk about some of their efforts as well.
Yes, as Cassius mentioned, many of our MBEs are 8A certified, and so bringing Cassius on as a partner with us will help us in a lot of the training and the development as part of the as well as the 8A piece of it. But the business development center that we're going to be opening is where we're going to be housing all of a lot of the training and development lead that we're going to be doing in partnership with Cassius. So whether they're GMSDC certified or the 8A certified, working in partnership together, it will help us in building the capacity, the capability, and the competency of these business owners together. So we can make sure they're maximizing any government opportunities as well as any private sector opportunities and working together.
Now, the Small Business Administration, that they define small business a little differently than maybe our listeners would understand it. Can you share exactly what a small business means to you guys?
Sure. For us, it's typically businesses that are under 500 employees. But it gets a little bit more complex after that once you start getting to different areas and different walks of business. But I just wanted to answer part of your question that you mentioned a couple moments ago. No, this past fiscal year, we've backed nearly $1.5 billion in loans to small business in the state of Georgia alone. This had never really been done before, this consistent before in history. And folks say, well, how did that happen? It really happened when we had the opportunity to reach out to folks like Stacy and say, hey, how can we help support you in your bottom line? More and more people are learning about what we're doing here at SBA, realizing that access to capital, training opportunities, and just really putting yourself in a position to succeed. It really has already been in existence for a while. We're just here to help promote it and help more people to getting access to it.
Now, when you're dealing with small business owners, are you seeing any mistakes that they typically make over and over again?
The first mistake I can say is not calling us. but in all seriousness, yes. Many times you will have small business owners looking to acquire a loan, and we ask for them to stop by and talk to us first. We give them that one-on-one confidential
counseling.
So before
counseling. They go to a bank or any type of financial institution?
Yeah. And so we have what is in place, our Georgia District Office, but we also have our resource partners, our SCORE chapters, our Small Business Development Centers. And we're proud to announce, of course, today, of course, GMSDC. We want them to go there first for counseling. And there they can get that training opportunity firsthand at no cost.
Because are you saying that like they'll go to the bank maybe prematurely and they won't be prepared and then they don't get the money and then they get frustrated and maybe abandon the
great
the
point
effort?
Great point. So we'll talk to them about your business plan. We'll talk to them about crossing the T's and dotting the I's. We'll talk to them about what type of loans are available. And also sometimes it really means that hey, today's not your day, but we'll work with you. We'll work with your business plan. We'll get you acclimated to folks like GMSDC to say you may want to become familiar with some other opportunities that exist. And once they're in a position to be a little bit more seasoned and prepared, then the 9 times out of 10, walking to that financial institution, they're better equipped.
Now, Stacy, having the SBA and you guys working together, doesn't this take the organization to another level?
Oh, absolutely. Having SBA, our goal is to be a premier resource. And so having SBA to the table and as a partner moves us forward in being a premier resource and allows us to do things throughout the state of Georgia. GMSDC is focused throughout Georgia, but it allows us to go hand in hand to SBA Savannah and Macon and Columbus and go to other parts of the state working in partnership with SBA. They have a wealth of resources and knowledge and that they just bring to the table to help us in ensuring small businesses have those tools to be successful.
And again, this is not just Atlanta-centric, right?
No. This is throughout the state of Georgia.
And so there's opportunity all over Georgia. It's just contacting you guys, it's going to help these minority businesses get that opportunity to grow their business in a way that they maybe on their own wouldn't be able to.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, you know, SBA is nationally. GMSDC is throughout the state. And I'm part of a larger organization that's nationally as well. But working hand in hand together, it opens up federal as well as private sector contracting opportunities for all minority and small businesses.
Now, where do you see the biggest opportunity for a small business right now, Cassius?
Well, I see the biggest opportunity really is almost open for everyone. When we talk about this country, you know, over 98% of this economy is ran off of small business. That's a reality check. Fact check me. It's really true. So when people talk about small business, we talk about, hey, we're going to be in a position to help to support you. One of the ways that we're doing that is right now, up until September of this year, we're offering zero fees. If you're looking to acquire a loan of $150,000 right now, there are zero fees, SBA fees associated with acquiring that loan. If you are a veteran and you're looking to acquire a loan up to $350,000, there are zero fees right now up until September. So these are just some of our products and features that are in place that it can support all walks of life and everyone who's looking to acquire their small business loan.
Now, are there some businesses that are more likely to get the loans than others? Are these businesses that are manufacturing oriented or can service oriented businesses qualify for these loans as well?
Sure. And really, all walks of small business are in a position to acquire a loan. We have several different products. We have our Signature 7A product, which goes up to $5 million. We also have our 504 product. If you're looking to acquire a small business loan and you're looking to acquire the building in which that small business will be housed, we have a product specifically just for you for that, for the loan for the building and the small business. And so you can imagine that you can have a building that may have tenants inside of it. You can also have different opportunities where you want to export our different products. That goes into something that I always mention when we typically give these speeches. I know Stacy has heard it before, but one of the small business owners here just a couple years ago in the South had a small business, and his father ran it for 30 years, and he retired. His son took over the business and came to SBA, got one-on-one confidential counseling, and exported cowboy boots abroad. And he used our Express product, which basically you will be in a position to market your product overseas. And that product is something that we feel very comfortable in just saying that, hey, you can do business domestically and internationally.
And the Small Business Administration can help you. A lot of businesses don't even consider that because they think it's too complex of an initiative to get involved in.
Yeah, they do. I typically will always say that our Express product is something that we always tell folks, this is not your mother or father's SBA. You know, it's not. It just isn't. We've gone from documents, our Caplines product have gone from 44 pages down to 11. And so when people hear that, they're encouraged and say, hey, it's a little bit more user-friendly these days. And we have folks who are in a position that can help you with getting started with that process as well.
Now, does the GMSDC help businesses with the exporting,
Stacey? We will connect them to our partner, which would be SBA.
Okay, so then a minority business, by being involved with you guys, you'll point them to the right.
We get them to the right organization or right resource, right, to help them succeed. That's the whole theme about being the premier resource. So you don't have to figure out where to go. We'll figure that out for you.
And then, Cassius, this event today, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I'm really looking most forward to the small business owners in the room that's hearing a lot about what's taking place. When you talk about innovate, ignite, and transform, Stacy came up with that, and I'm looking at it right now like, gosh, you know, that's so catchy, but it's so much of what Stacy is and what she has done for GMSDC. I'm really looking forward to working with the small business owners in the room and telling them more and more about SBA, and also not just about us, but getting connected to our small business development centers, our new SCORE chapter, which is in place, which is now headed up by Dr. Bob Yancey, our women business center owners. We have two in the state of Georgia. And also coming back to our Georgia district office. We're very excited about telling everyone about that so they can be a part of that $1.5 billion that has been in place for the last year and a half.
And it sounds like you're very optimistic about the growth in the state of Georgia.
I like to look at numbers, and numbers tell the truth. We've had consecutive months of adding jobs to the economy. Particularly, it starts with that 98% of what the economy is ran off of, small business. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about what's taking place with GMSDC. And that's why we're here today. We want to support Stacy. We have a national MOU with NMSDC. But before that MOU took place, we had one in place with GMSDC.
Yeah.
So they have taken that olive branch and really took it and ran with it. We just want to be a part of it to extend it to other folks who want to be a part of it, too.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about the SBA, is there a website for you guys?
Absolutely. I like to always say that we're open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. SBA.gov. We started a newsletter. We want more and more people to know about SBA. So we started a newsletter, which now reaches out to over 200,000 people. We have our Twitter handle, which is SBA Southeast. And we're very proud about that. So you can follow us wherever we go. And, just log on. We also have a Facebook account, SBA Southeast. So we're always getting more and more information. This is a tech-savvy, user-friendly world we're in right now. And so I think we're texting as we're speaking right now.
And, Stacy, the website for GMSDC?
Yes, it's www.gmsdc.org. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter as well. So you can connect with us.
That's right. Now everybody can connect with everybody. There seems to be a social media channel for everybody.
True.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of this. This is Lee Cantor. We'll be back in a few at GMSDC Open House 2014.
That was Cassius Butts, interviewed by Lee Cantor and Stacy Key at the annual meeting and ribbon cutting for the GMSDC. Like Cassius said, get involved with the SBA. It is not your father's or grandfather's SBA. A lot of things have changed. It's a lot more simple. It's a lot more easy to get help. So if you're a small business anywhere in the country, be sure to get involved with the SBA at sba.gov. Next up, we have Naeed Saeed with GRMI at the annual ribbon cutting for GMSDC, and here it is.
Stone, Payton, and Lee Cantor here on behalf of Geordie Minority Supplier Development Council, GMSDC. Lee, as you know, this is the state of Georgia's leading advocacy agency for small business development and supplier diversity, and they certainly know how to innovate, ignite, and transform, and that's what this evening's all about, the annual meeting, the ribbon cutting, and, of course, having a meaningful conversation with Ms. Naheed Syed. How you doing, Sunshine?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you want to talk a little bit, you're with the Global Resource Management, Inc., GRMI. Can you talk a little bit about your organization, what you're doing for folks?
Yes, basically our organization has been in business for 20 years. And we have started as a technology and staff augmentation company, but grew into a lot more than just staffing. So we've implemented humongous projects for large corporations when it comes to strategy, when it comes to business analytics, when it comes to data. We started doing all of these things 10 years before our competitors decided that data and analytics was a key field.
You figured it out first.
Yes.
And you're a certified woman-owned minority company. That's not something you can just walk around and talk about. You have to go through some process to be certified and ordained and all that stuff, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, why was it important for you to get involved with the GMSDC?
Well, when we first started, GMSDC was the only minority organization around, and we wanted to contribute. Being a Georgia-headquartered corporation, we wanted to help the GMSDC and ourselves in making sure that the small and women-owned businesses get their fair share of business.
That's right, because it's not uncommon in some industries that they don't choose minority-owned businesses. And this organization is here to help kind of be the matchmaker, right?
Yes. There's a big misnomer, and to some extent it may be true. A lot of large corporations have suffered with finding small companies who are not really ready to serve them.
Right. So it's not a good fit. So then they just kind of say, not interested in using anybody, right?
It's human nature, right? If you get hurt by one company, then you try to ignore the rest. But that's not true. I mean, because there's so many small and women-owned organizations that are highly qualified to provide the services that large corporations need, and we are one of them. We've been serving large corporations as direct clients for the last 20 years.
So you've been doing this for 20 years plus. Is there something right now, though, that kind of keeps you up at night and has most of your mental attention?
Well, the thing that keeps me up at night lately is the global competition and large global corporations coming in and outsourcing and doing a lot of stuff that the local organizations are being cut out of because of the size.
So now how do you kind of combat against that?
Well, what we have to do is we have to ignite ourselves, we have to innovate, and we have to reform and transform ourselves to be able to provide the services that the corporations are looking at the proper pricing, and at the highest level of quality that some of these corporations can deliver.
Now, when you're doing that, does that mean sometimes that you're partnering with other organizations?
Yes, we do that. We have partnered with larger organizations than ourselves, like Accenture.
Uh-huh.
And we have a big part of that, and we do that. But what we have to do is find areas that these large corporations, they're doing mostly what most people think of information technology as a commodity. So we're trying to not do the generally commoditized services that IT provides, and to be able to provide niche services that corporations really need.
And that's a good kind of rule of thumb for business as a whole. You never want to be a commodity, right? You always want to be some specialist or niche provider.
Yes, and that's one of the things that a lot of the IT organizations don't understand. When you ask why people are in IT, they think it's a big field and they want to serve everybody. But within the IT or information technology field itself, you have to certainly specialize in certain areas. And that's what we've done. And that's part of the reason why we are so successful, because we don't try to be everything to everybody.
So what is your sweet spot? What areas do you specialize in?
Well, we specialize in certain markets and in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So the markets that we mostly serve are telecommunications, health and human services, banking and finance, manufacturing and retail. And also government technologies.
Well, I was going to ask, with those verticals, government regulations, policy changes, does this have a big impact on your world? I mean, do you stay up and watch the news every night to figure out how it's going to impact your business the next morning?
Well, actually, you know, we being a fairly sizable organization, we have a whole group that concentrates on that. Not only do we attend different conferences and meetings, but we read multiple articles. I read at least two or three articles at night before I go to sleep, just so I can stay on top of it, because so much is changing. And being the CEO and president of the organization, it's my focus is not day-to-day. My focus is strategizing and making sure that we grow in the right areas and that we stay focused in where our growth is.
Now, if you look back 20 years from when you started, is the business in the place that you dreamed it would be?
Yes, definitely.
So you saw, you thought that you would be at this size at this time?
Yes, certainly. We are actually, our aspirations are to be much larger. One of the reasons we haven't grown as large as we wanted to be is because we're totally debt-free. We have grown at our own pace. We don't, you know, we didn't even have a line of credit till last year.
Wow. So, and your footprint, is it just here in Georgia, or you do work all over the world?
We work all over U.S., and we also do globally, but strictly only in India right now.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have won an award or two throughout the years, haven't you?
Yes, yes. We've won multiple awards. We've been the Global Technology Company of the Year from MBDA for the last couple of years. We've been part of the Inc. 500 Fastest Growing Companies. We've been one of the fastest recognized company, the top 50 growth companies, women-owned growth companies by WeBank and WeConnect Magazine and multiple other organizations.
So now, GMSDC, can you talk about an example of how they've helped you grow?
Yes. Part of being part of GMSDC and working, you know, most small companies don't realize that you don't materialize business with people just because you're a small company. You materialize business with people because you become a good friend and they understand what you do and how you do, and then you gain their trust before. We never have asked for business from any corporation. They have actually approached us because when we go out and prove to them who we are and what we do, and other corporations tell them that we've done a great job, that's how we get business. Being a small and woman-owned business certainly opens the door, but how many stairs you climb or how many floors you climb is based on your capability.
And you can't just write a check to an organization and put your name on a list, right? You're saying that you have to get more involved. You have to take leadership positions. Yes. You have to be out there and let people know what you do, what you're about, and that's when the business can get
done. And why you're different from
everybody else, right?
I'm sure the corporations get thousands of calls a day from everybody claiming that they can do the same services you can. So you have to know how to differentiate yourself and be able to deliver.
So with respect to technology in general, where is all this headed, and should we be excited? Should we be a little fearful, or maybe a little bit of both?
The way I look at it is this: there's always opportunities in hard times. There's more opportunity in hard times than in good times, because in good times, everybody gets business. In hard times, only the qualified companies get business. And to give you an example, when corporations 2 years ago were laying off a lot of people because of the economic situation, they lose a lot of key resources. And when there are corporations who understand what they're hurting and how to help them get over that hump, they're the ones that get business. So we've always done very well in hard economic times because we know how to cater to the client and what their pain points are.
Right. And when you see if there's a dip in the economy, that doesn't scare you. That's an opportunity for you to stand out, right?
That's how we look at it, is that, you know, we're one of the top companies that can actually help a corporation restructure themselves. And we've worked on a lot of mergers and acquisitions as well. And there's a lot of data that becomes quite redundant in those situations. So we have really benefited from that.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about your organization, is there a website?
Yes. There's a website called www.grmi.net. And the reason we are changing our name GRMI is when we started 20 years ago, there were no global companies. Now every other company has the name global in it, so we decided to start using an acronym instead of building.
Well, thank you so much for dropping by and visiting with us, Naheed Syed. It's been a real, real pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, we'll be back in a few from GMSDC 2014.
That was Leanne Stone's interview with Naheed Syed with GRMI, one of the first global technology companies in the world. So it was really great, you know, interviewing her and getting her experience, see how the industry has changed. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you just tune in next week for some more interviews from the GMSDC ribbon cutting. A few weeks back, we'll be playing a few more. And again, in a couple more weeks after that, we will have Stacy Key and a few more people in here live. So be sure to check out that inaugural show. And this is Michael Lauer signing off for Let's Talk Small Business.